您现在听到的是精简版的 Roundtable 节目，想收听并下载一小时完整节目，可以打开网站 CRIEZFM.com， 点击 Roundtable。Podcast 用户可以搜索圆桌会议。
A Chinese online security company has published a report pointing out the most common tricks of online fraud in 2015. What are they? And hopefully after listening to our show today, next time when you're in that situation, make sure that you don't fall for it. So what does this report say?
So China has seen an increase in online fraud, and it's particularly in the field of P2P lending. Now, for people who don't know, peer-to-peer lendingrefers to lending without the aid of a traditional financial institution such as a bank. A very good example that suddenly comes to mind probably is the student loan in Britain. So most of our students get a loan from a student loan company, which is a private institution, not a bank, and that's considered P2P lending. And then we have a private contract with them where we have to pay it off or not pay it off. You can choose to move to another country and get a job, and then they just don't talk to you.
Oh, you're putting bad ideas into people's minds.
But P2P lending has got its risks, and a lot of people in China are now getting, the statistics are showing a lot of people are committing fraud, and it's mostly online financial fraud, fake employment ads,and gaming, which was a big surprise to me. I had no idea this was going to be a means for fraud. Liming, what's your take on it?
It only accounts for 8%.
But it's still 8%. It's quite a lot when you're looking at 37 million yuan.
Yes. I think in terms of fraud involving games, it might have to do with, well, people trying to sell certain items or
equipment, like a big
weapons
sword
or armor. And they say they're going to sell it to you, but when you transfer money to their account, they don't sell it to you. That's all I can think of.
I know what you're talking about because I play a lot of games, but you're talking about redeeming codes, aren't you? Where you get an in-game online armor or sword, and they're selling fake copies of that.
Are you suggesting this kind of fraud will be conducted by the gaming company? But what I just described is, the kind of fraud happening between each individual players.
So how is this allowed to happen? Because for me, I look at P2P lending, and most of the private institutions, I'm talking about abroad specifically now, they have really good credit checking tools for the individuals. And it's actually quite hard to commit fraud in this area, or at least I thought so until this topic, Liming. How is this happening in such large scale?
I don't know. Because,
we would have stopped it by now.
I can understand why people are turning to P2P lending. I mean, China's financial system has always favored state-owned enterprises, and that makes banks set very low interest rates.
Yeah.
And people are growing less and less willing to have their money deposited in the banks, and they have to find alternative investment channels.
Yeah, I think a lack of viable investment instruments in China can be a problem. You can see that people really do want to make a little bit more money off what they already have, and what can you do? There's just limited avenues to do so, and certainly don't put your money in the Chinese stock market. As we've learned, you know, a lot of people have shed blood, metaphorically speaking, in this area. And, you know, so what else can you do? A lot of people I think last year was the P2P year for China. A lot of people turned to it, and sometimes when you can only verify everything online, it's simply just not enough. And this is one area that guys, people, listeners out there, you know, we all need to be careful of it. And what else does this online fraud list has highlighted that caught your attention?
The next big part of it was the areas and the main target groups. Now, the areas in that were highlighted came as a bit of a surprise to me. So Guangdong ranked first with over 3,000 cases, and that was followed by Shandong, Henan, Jiangsu, and Sichuan province. I was a tad bit surprised that Beijing and Shanghai didn't leave the list, just because I could imagine, you know, tier one cities, lots of money, lots of potential to scam people within those areas.
Well, first tier cities such as Beijing, Guangzhou, Shenzhen, and Shanghai are with most cases reported. But I guess maybe these people living in big cities are just too smart to be scammed.
Oh, and that's hardly the case, I think.
Well, I think, I don't know, I think this comes down to a bit to transparency. Mm-hmm. Because the other major information that we got here that was that 68% of victims are male. Now, I think transparency of information starts kicking in a lot here, because when you look at a case like this, the first reason we're given is that men are on their phones a bit more, which I completely disagree with. I think women are on their phones plenty. And Liming's laughing because he's thinking about his wife, who spends most of her life on a smartphone, as does a lot of the women we know.
That really is the case.
Ho Yang excluded. She doesn't play on her phone. You're very good at not playing on your phone, Ho Yang.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But I don't think it's that men are on their phone more. I think it's that women are just a bit more savvy when it comes, in general, when it comes to this, at looking at scams and surveying the situation clearly and not having a hot head and making a clear, well thought out decision in regards to P2P lending, where guys might be like, oh wow, this looks too good to be true, let's jump in and take it. And I think the attitude that men have is based on a lack of transparency about how many people are getting scammed. And we do need to make the message as clear as possible. There are a lot of risks out there, and you've got to be careful.
That is a really good point, and thank you, Sam, for once saying some nice things for the ladies. Thank you for that. But this other part of this report, I think me being the woman in the room, I shall fight it. That is, although, you know, percentage-wise, victims are mostly male, but when it comes to the per capita loss of money, if we, you know, categorize it, compare it according to gender, then it's actually women that we lost 5,700 yuan in comparison to guys 4,800 yuan. So it seems like although we don't fall to these traps as much, ladies, but we lose more.
So when it rains, it pours.
So we're quite gullible in that sense.
Well, I don't think it's a sense of being more gullible. I just think it's the idea of women, if they're going to do something, they're going to do it properly. You know, with most women, they've either done enough research.
These tricks.
It's either you've done enough research to realize that you don't want to dabble in this, or if you decided that you do, thinking, well, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to invest as much as possible. And it seems to be a lot more, in Chinese, it's called like ji duan. Like, you know, you're a lot more clear cut about the decisions that you're going to make. It's either A or B. There's no in the middle investment here. It's either a lot of money or none at all.
I also find it quite a strange phenomenon, this contrast between the percentage of victims and also the amount of money scammed out of them. I mean, maybe this has to do with the fact that men are more, perhaps more gullible than women.
Well, do you
women
believe are more that? Cautious. Do you honestly yes, believe that men yes. are more gullible?
Yes. Imagine a beautiful girl talks to you on WeChat and says she needs some extra money.
Yes.
Men are more likely to spend.
No, but hold up.
Than women.
Hold up. That's because of the socialist stigma attached to men and women in society. That's not a case of being more gullible. If you don't expect a hot shirtless guy to walk up to her and say, please, can I have some money? It's just something that guys aren't generally allowed or expected to do in society in general.
Allowed to? Well, if a man does that to me, no, I would not do that. I would definitely have a very intelligent conversation with him. Ha ha, I will not do that. Basically,
take him shirt shopping.
No, let's keep him that way. So basically, when it comes to gullible or not, you know, when you compare the genders, I hardly can say that, you know, that is the main differentiation here. I think it depends on how aware you are of these different tricks out there and how immersed are you with what's going on in society today. And there's one thing we didn't mention, that was like fraudulent prize schemes. That's also one of those, well, top three internet fraud tricks. So that's not news. And people are still falling for it. Aren't you?
Women are more likely to fall for this.
Why? Why is that?
Tread carefully, Limey. We have a lot of female listeners on the show.
They might just save money to buy cheap stuff.
Well, with these prizes, I mean, Well, there has been actually a time or two when I actually won something very, very minimal, but I thought it was just a complete lie, and I don't even give the person on the other end of the phone a chance when they say, oh, miss, you know, there's this prize you won. It's like, no way I could do that. So these days, I think to some extent, these news have actually kept us on our toes a bit too much in a way, but still, we can't stop these things from happening.
I think the other problem here is that fraud has become a lot more accessible to us as a mainstream audience, because if you look at the different kinds of means that we have now in terms of accessing people if we're looking to commit a certain kind of scam, before it used to be you were limited to pretty much, I think,
phone call,
QQ,
mail,
or a traditional email, but now we've got, you know, we've got WeChat, we've got Weibo, we've got so many means of communication and transferring money. I'm looking at our information, and fake red envelopes around the Chinese New Year are probably going to be a major means of fraud. Because, you know, it's part of the culture of giving out a red envelope here. And people who are looking to scam are going to look for any opportunity they can find to take advantage of you. And this is a big one. And they've got WeChat. These scammers can sign up for a WeChat like that. So they're going to be coming at you, and you need to be ready and aware of the risks that are out there.
And especially when the Spring Festival is just around the corner, it's the time when a lot of red envelopes, digital or not, have been sent out, and you need to be aware of that. Is there anything else we need to be aware of?
Don't give out your personal information if it looks like you can redeem any money. Your ID number, your bank number, your cell phone number, your full name. If you can, try and avoid giving out any information to people who you don't know and have given you no clarification of who they are. Be a bit cautious.
That's going to be difficult, particularly when many Chinese application runners try and get every detail about the personal information of the users. And also one more innovative means of fraud is, well, I've just seen it online, is someone, a stranger, might send you a message saying, hey, dude, I'm getting married, and click on this link to look at my wedding photos and this digital invitation thing. So more likely than not, you click on the link to see who's actually inviting me to this wedding ceremony.
So don't click on whatever link and whatever message that's been sent to you.
A lot of the time, and I've actually had my QQ hacked years ago, and when people ask you to go on their space or to support them in a competition or whatever, and they send you any link, all they need is a link that asks you for a username or a phone number or any kind of information. As soon as you enter it in, they've got you. You've gone. I lost my QQ account back in 2011, 2012. Never got it back. They put horrible, heinous images all over my QQ space. They destroyed and defaced it. I had to get a new QQ. I was heartbroken until I got my new QQ sorted out.
Well, okay. There you go. I think when you get a message these days, especially if there is a link to it, that's something you should be very much aware of, that something dodgy might be behind this. And also these days on your phone, sometimes you get these five-digit text messages.
Verification codes?
No, these five-digit numbers that come from usually a bank or one of those legitimate places, and it's actually fraud sometimes. And because, like, for, let's say, the Construction Bank or ICBC, they all have these five-digit number, so-called legitimate numbers to send you messages, and sometimes it can be hacked, or for some reason you get these fraudulent messages from them, and you need to be careful.
It is possible for someone to hack your local base station that provides the telecommunication signal for your phone. So once someone hacks into that base station, they can pretend to be the authentic caller of the maybe ICBC or CBC.
That's actually, I've seen that happen before as well. You read about it in the news. The other big one where you can easily be duped is on the new social dating media, which isn't just unique to China. This is a potential threat in pretty much any country, with Tinder taking off the way it is. But if you look at applications like Tantan and Momo, and you have someone who doesn't even know you and says, oh, you're cute, can I add you on WeChat without asking you any other questions or getting to know you? Guys, girls out there, if you're thinking, wow, it's too good to be true, the chances are it just might be. So take your time and don't give out your personal contact information to someone willy-nilly because they've got a cute picture. Be sensible.
And that piece of suggestion coming from a guy like Sam, you know, who's, you know, he's...
A guy like Sam.
Well, you know, he's you're attractive.
Oh,
and
okay.
Also, he is a very shrewd user of Tan Tan Mo Mo Tinder and all kinds of those apps. So when it comes to advice on that department, guys and girls out there, you should listen to him.
And before we move on, one more potential loophole. I know a lot of people who might want to buy some cheap stuff. And there are a lot of companies that have this discount activities, promotional activities for you. Namely, you have to share a link to in your friend zone so that how many people will click on the link. And for example, when 10 people have clicked on the link, then you get access to a minimal coupon. So that's this also creates a loophole for maybe when someone hacks into that server, then that link could be directing to you to all kinds of...
A mess.
Yes.
And fraudulent information, certainly. And our listeners have a lot to say on this topic, too. As our WeChat listener, Hetty, says, you should remember the saying that there is no free lunch. And you know, you see in the news that there's this guy who hit the jackpot, and that person is never you. So don't even think about it. I like your advice. And Hetty also says, if you get a call from strangers asking for your details, don't ever give it to them. But the problem here, Hetty, is that often when you get that phone call and it's a stranger, but then you fall for whatever lie they say to you, and then
could be pretending to be a company doing survey for someone else.
Yeah, whenever
like
you
a proxy survey company.
Mm-hmm. And whenever you, although this person is a stranger, but when you give them legitimacy in your mind, then geez, we're doomed. And there is romantic saying, well, if you don't want to get duped, then just remember, no free lunch. Yeah, I think that is the golden rule here. And also, there is Li Zifaya, Liu Shukaihua Jerry says that never click on the links which are sent by others, whoever you know or you don't know. Oh, I've received so many links that sent by, you know, 106.8 or ICBC or CCB these days, just don't click on them and you will be safe. All right, please, you know, just keep that in mind and hopefully you won't fall for that trap next time.